Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. I have to talk about this movie that I went and saw last night. It was nice and short, which I liked. I went to a 1:45 movie and I came out and it was still light, which was really great.
It is true that there have been movies these days that have come out and they're like on average 3 hours.
Dune. Yeah. I still have not seen Dune because I haven't been in the mood to sit for 3 hours in a movie theater.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it's a commitment.
Yeah, and so I didn't want to do that. So we went and saw that. Is it called Arthur the King, the Mark Wahlberg movie?
I think
movie?
It's Arthur the King, not King Arthur. Yeah,
I think
you're
it's
right.
Arthur the King. It's an interesting story based on a true story of a guy that did adventure racing. And adventure racing is like this 5-day race where you kayak, you mountain bike, you climb, it's a hike and run. I watched a whole season of one show on this one time, and it's grueling what it puts their bodies through. So apparently this guy is on this adventure race and it's like his last chance to kind of do this because he's aging out, and he finds this dog that like follows them. And it's the story of the relationship of him and the dog and how they do in the race and everything like that. And it's heartwarming at times. There is one point in time where my wife looks over at me and she goes, "Are you crying?" I'm like, "I might be."
Did you?
I did. I teared up probably 3 times in it.
Baby.
I know. Like, the dog is cute. Mark Wahlberg does a good job in it. I didn't say it was cute. I said he does a good job in it.
Is it Mark Wahlberg's cute or the dog?
The dog's cute. Okay. Mark Wahlberg does a good job. It was good. But what's really funny, though, you know how we always come at Christian movies and we're like, "Ugh, it's not good. Here's your copy points that you put in there, and it feels heavy-handed or manipulative or just over-the-top, like cheesy, faithy or whatever, you know?" And you can see it coming a mile away. This movie actually has some elements of that where you're like, "Oh, this would have been..." I could see people like if you say, "Oh, this is a great movie," then you should never be mad at Christian movies for sometimes being a little much, because this movie has a few moments that are a little much on the manipulative heartstring pull.
But was it based on a true story?
It was.
Well, then it's not pulling at the heartstrings if it's true.
Well, in true stories, they're never 100% true. You know, you look at I Can Only Imagine, and like at the very end of that, the big bring it home moment where she's like, "Bart, you can have your..." Amy Grant's on stage. "Bart, you can have your song back. Get on up here, kid, and play it." And everyone's like, "Yeah." That never happened. Like, that was made up for the movie.
Yeah, but that's a bold statement to say every movie that says
every based on a true story movie. I will stand by this statement of every.
Well,
has
based
some,
on, yeah, that
right.
means that it's... It's
right.
kind of.
That's what all these movies are.
No.
They all say based on a true story.
But there are movies that are documentaries.
That's
those
different.
Are real.
Documentary's different. Why do you say based on a true story? So that you can get away with embellishing. Because not every true story has a full arc that makes it complete.
We're
so
getting
that,
off the top.
So no,
that
we're not.
Wasn't actually you in I Can Only Imagine?
No, that was me. It wasn't a deep fake. That was legit me.
But that was not his real height.
Right.
He had to stand on the box.
It's based on a true story. But anyway. So this movie is based on a true story, but you have to put things in there for drama or effect to make it a better story, you know? And so I'm sure like 85, 90% of it's true, but there's one scene where the dog is following him out in the ocean trying to catch up with him, and it's tugging at your heart. You're like, "Oh my gosh.
Why is he leaving him on the beach?"
Because he had to, because they wouldn't let him kayak with the dog, but then the dog is like, "I'm going to follow you anyway," so he has to save it. And so then, like, I'm like, "Save the dog, man." But there's the scene they shoot... He paddles over to the dog and can't quite get there fast enough. So the dog goes under. You see the dog go under. You're like, "Okay, great. You know he's going to reach."
Great.
No, but from a movie telling part of this, great, he's going to reach in and save it. But what they do cinematically to capture this moment is they pull a Titanic. They have, remember when Jack goes underwater and you see him drifting away from Rose?
Yes.
And it's the shot of Rose's perspective watching Jack go down.
Yes.
And there's a light behind him and he fades off into nothing. That is the exact shot they did with this dumb dog. So there's this dog and you see it from the guy's perspective. The dog is going under and it's like its little paw is up. It's so bad. It's shot so bad. The CGI was horrible on it. This is supposed to be the big bring it home moment.
Did the dog die?
No.
Oh, he made
spoiler.
It?
Yeah, sorry.
Are you
spoiler
lying to
alert.
Me?
No, I would not
Did
lie
he take him
you.
Home?
Wait, honest truthful.
I'm not going to tell you anymore. Honest truthful, he lived.
The
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, honest truthful.
That's all I care about.
Yeah. So, but the thing about this is it ruined like a moment that I'm like, oh my gosh. Because if they had shown him the dog go under from the side, and then they had shown like Mark Wahlberg just throw half of his body in the water and then come up with a dog, home run. Mm. Home run. But the second they cut to the dog, his paw, and he's getting farther and farther down in the water, and you look at it, it doesn't even look like he's in the water. It's all CGI. You're like, I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg, this is the thing. Well, I guess
he's
probably...
He's an A-list celebrity.
Exactly.
He
knows
he would do better.
How to make movies, but I'm sure like when it gets out of their control, too.
Yeah.
You know, and like, but like, if I'm sitting in that room and I'm a producer... I go, guys, we just lost it. In essence, we just jumped the shark.
Yeah.
In trying to tell this story. And like you cut that out, and that was one big moment. There were a couple other cheesy ones. And like we always talk about kids. Look, when I saw Ordinary Angels, the kids in that movie are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Kids are always the weak link in movies because they're not great actors, and they hire little kids to be cute. And this movie suffers from that. Christian movie syndrome. Here's a cute kid. Oh, there's Daddy Dot. You know,
so the kid was not a good
bad
actor.
Writing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the kid, they use it like three times in the movie. Mm-hmm. But my point being, we have this high standard that we try to hold Christian movies to, mm-hmm. and when they fall short of that, we're like, ah, Christian movie garbage. This movie, the Mark Wahlberg one, big budget film, had Christian movie garbage vibes to it in places. You know, so.
But after saying all of that,
yeah.
You did tear up.
Yeah, I did. There were a couple moments that were great, just like Christian movies. A couple moments where they're great. And then the agenda gets them and loses the art.
What would you say was the movie that you cried the hardest?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Do you have an answer for yours?
In
or is
theaters
this just for him?
Or at home?
Boy,
whichever.
I don't know, because sadly...
I know mine.
Okay, sadly, because I can't point to one movie where I... Okay, I can. Stepmom. Because I do remember this years ago. Stepmom. Marty and I... sobbing in the movie
Julia
theater.
Roberts.
And Ed, the guy from National Treasure, the tough guy, Ed Harris. Is it Julia Roberts? Oh, I forget. No, it's Susan Sarandon. I think it's Susan Sarandon.
And Julia Roberts.
Is it her too? I don't remember.
Julia Roberts is in it. And
okay.
Susan Sarandon.
I just remember crying so hard.
And Ed Harris.
And my wife and I walking out of the movie theater trying to talk to each other, and neither one of us could speak.
Really?
That bad. Yeah, that bad.
What was it?
Like, it was somebody dies from cancer. And I can't remember if her mom was going through this at the time.
I think what it is that Julia Roberts is the... I don't know if I've ever seen the movie, but
right.
I think... Julia Roberts is the one that's stepping in.
As the stepmom.
As the stepmom. And Susan Sarandon is the actual mom that's dying of cancer.
Yes.
And so she's kind of like handing the baton off.
Yeah.
Something.
So that was a rough one. Sadly, there's been too many movies for me to count that I've cried at. How to Train Your Dragon. Come on, man.
What?
Is it the second one?
Yeah, it's so sad. So
that one got me and Haley, too.
Yeah. I've teared up it way too. Up. Oh, for the love.
Oh, up. No Can't one even. Was prepared for.
First 10 minutes when that lady dies.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're like,
wrecked me.
So cute. They're married. They can't. Oh. Oh, it's like got this, like just
go find
brutal.
Your adventure on your own.
Just brutal.
Oh,
and
just.
I think I've told the story before, but I'll tell it one more time. A friend of mine that I used to know, her and her family, they had just lost their grandma. Mm. And so the parents were like, you know, let's take the kids to the
a Disney film
and let's go see the new Disney movie.
Oh, bad move.
And they had no idea.
Bad move.
They had to walk out.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, because all the kids are crying.
And the kids are like, why would you do this?
Right.
Why would you bring me here?
I thought you loved
it. If we're talking about animated, mine would be Lilo and Stitch. At the very end.
Really?
Yes.
The
at the
end?
Very end, when the aliens are wanting to take
Stitch
away, he says, This is my family.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's broken, but still good.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
I
and I'm
see
like,
that.
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Really?
Now, the one that was an actual movie with real people in it.
Yeah.
It's a real movie.
Still embarrassing. Is actively bawling my eyes out when Tom Hanks is saying goodbye to Wilson, the volleyball on Castaway. When that volleyball is floating away and Tom Hanks is saying, I'm sorry, Wilson.
Wilson, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I bawled like a baby.
That got me too. He did such a good.
He was so good.
Yeah, he was good. That's not embarrassing. Yeah, you were right to cry at that one.
The Lilo and Stitch one, though.
Yeah.
What about you, Gavin?
So I remember not being...
It was a Harry Potter classic.
I'm not
it
that
was
weak.
Twilight,
I'm not
number
like
three.
It's number two, okay? It's so I think I have two in my head. So the first one was Marley and Me.
Oh, yeah, you get to the end.
I was warned about that.
Stuff.
That's why I didn't go and see it.
I had Haley over for the first time. Not first time, it was just we were teenagers.
Oh, no.
So she already knew what she was doing.
Yeah, this is on her.
The movie's going down. Then, you know, we get to the end. The dog has lived an aged, good life.
Gray around the eyes.
It's laying down. Owen Wilson goes in for the final goodbye.
I am just losing my mind. Did she?
No, she's tough.
And so
she's,
funny.
That was before I liked dogs, too.
Yeah.
And then the second one, there's this movie called About Time, where it's just focused on this character and this family where all the men throw their arms down to their side. They can travel back in time and then travel back. It's kind of like a very average feeling rom-com with this weird additional
time travel
type element to it. And there's a dad scene in it where... There's the scene where he's like, "Dad, this is, you know, my son's about to be born," which for some reason means this is the last time I can come back and play ping pong with you. And I don't know. I played like there's a summer a long time ago where I played ping pong with my dad every single day.
Oh, that's cool.
And I just watching that when we get to that scene, like I'm just a blubbering baby.
Oh, I get that.
Do you remember when the movie came out, the To Joey with Love, the Rory
from
Feek
Rory, yeah,
movie,
yeah,
and me and Joy,
oh, yes,
and Marty and Haley,
yes,
your wife and daughter, we all watched, and you were there too,
yeah.
But there's one picture you took, and I mean, all four of us are like,
yeah. So
it
your eyes is
so
drenched.
Sad.
Yeah,
it
I remember
is
that.
So sad. I only watched it that one time, and I was like, never again.
When my daughter used to live at home, it was so funny. She got the biggest kick out of it. She'd be looking over me. She'd be like, "You crying? Are you crying at this?"
Yeah, that happened.
Because
I cried
more at movies than she did.
I've never seen my dad, like watching a movie. I don't think I've ever seen my dad cry.
Yeah. No. The worst was when my dad was sick and This Is Us came on and it was the one where his dad, Randall's dad, is dying and he's on oxygen. And that's what drilled me, because my dad was on oxygen and I had to get up. I had to walk out of the room, compose myself. I'm crying in the other room. And my wife, God bless her, not fully aware of what's going on or how bad it hits me, paused the TV show.
She's
so
like, I want him to embrace these feelings.
I come back in. I'm like, I am so sorry. That was a little rough. She's like, it's not a problem. I paused it for you. Like, what is wrong with you, woman? And so then we had to watch it all again. I'm like, stop it, lady.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was. That was a rough one. I've cried in front of my kid before. I don't think that's a bad thing, honestly. Especially showing emotion. Especially I think it's important with your sons too, but with your daughters, because you don't want them to grow up thinking you're heartless.
Okay, Gavin, you're seeing Would you have cried in front of Hayden?
I cried at Hayden's birth.
And out of disappointment.
Yes, I was. I already knew what was
in store. He came out
with blue hair.
Yeah. He knew.
I just was like, yep, this is where we're headed. I still feel like every time we talk about this, I have to qualify that Hayden is a fictitious, made-up son that I don't like, that Betty made up. Yeah, because somebody's going to walk in as a new potty to half of this and misunderstand it.
Yep.
So anyway,
Lady Rock, your son.
What do you got?
Oh, okay. So there's an Australian bank teller is being praised for being a hero, all because she saved an elderly customer from losing millions to a scam. And sadly, we're seeing this more and more where the elderly are losing money. There was an elderly woman.
Did you do the story in an accent? Australian?
Australian accent.
There was an... Oh, I can't. No.
Yeah, I wish you could. I could. Yeah.
No, I can't. This elderly woman came in asking the bank teller how to go about canceling her home insurance since she needed to sell her home. That's when the teller got concerned, because it all sounded a lot like catfishing. She actually had experience because her dad had lost lots of money
really?
To a catfish situation. So catfishing, if you don't know what it is, it's the act of luring someone into an online relationship, sometimes with the purpose of stealing money. And Wally and I watched a show called 90 Day Fiancé, and there was one lady on there that was in love with the Williams.
The Williams.
It wasn't just William or Williams. It was
the Williams.
And he was a fictitious person.
Yep.
But she,
Yolanda was her name. Remember her?
She believed that the Williams was a real person.
And a workout model that was totally into this 58-year-old lady that was not held together
well. Multiple kids. It didn't make sense. So the teller got more curious, and she asked the older woman why she was needing to sell her home. And come to find out, the woman said she was doing this to help her boyfriend, who claimed to be in a jail overseas, okay? So she is being asked to sell her home to get the millions of dollars needed to bond him out of this overseas jail.
That is bold on the part of the on the scammer. Like, I saw a thing the other day where, like, these people were in line to get off the freeway or off a road to go to a sporting event, and, like, five guys surround the car, and they're all wearing, like, yellow vests like they work. They're like, hey, $40, we're taking the money early. Mm. And you're in that situation, like, oh, okay, yes, maybe, I don't know. Like, but this one here, when you are online and, the boldness of someone to say, I'm not just going to take this person for 10 grand. I'm going to take them for $2 million. And that's crazy.
And know that they're elderly and that they're probably lonely. And and you're making them sell their home?
Right.
That's horrible.
That's evil.
So this, of course, got the teller's concern. And that's when she decided to ask the woman this question.
Please tell me when the last time she took you out for a coffee. And she looked and she said, actually, never. We met online.
Yep. There you go. Like, oh, I'm glad that this lady asked questions.
I know,
because
right?
Really, she's like, hey, I'm selling my house. Like, that's a normal thing to do, you know. And so what triggered her to ask the question?
Because she had experience with her own dad that fell for these same situations. So the teller voiced her concern of catfishing to this elderly woman and asked her if she had any photos of her boyfriend. Mm. And when she provided those, the teller took them and ran a Google reverse search. No, I don't, but I need to learn how to.
Yeah, I want to learn.
Yeah, and that's when her suspicion was confirmed.
All the photos she received, they were online, but with different names.
So he was grabbing, this guy that was catfishing this older woman, was grabbing these photos of a male model, and then he was posing them as him, when it's probably some guy in a third world country on the internet just it's not even him.
There's something that is so ultimately sad to me about these stories where somebody looks reality in the face and then denies it because they are so lonely. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that some, like, you know, 30-year-old in shape ripped underwear model is interested in me, you know, and you're 65, a 70-year-old. Like, how you don't look at that and go, okay, there's something wrong. But you're so lonely or so sad, so broken, you need something so bad in your life that you're willing to set all of that aside. And all your family can tell you it's crazy, and it doesn't matter. There's that drive, that need for something in you to be whole. That, to me, is the sad part of this. Mm-hmm. And people prey on that because they know people give into this stuff. It's ridiculous.
Which is kind of the same level with your own experience with your father-in-law. You know, he was lonely once his wife died, and so he ended up doing a second marriage with a woman that took him for all he was worth.
Yeah, we knew that it was not good. We all were like, man, you gotta not do this, you know? Yeah. And sure enough, wreaked havoc on the family for a little bit.
And it goes to show how important community is, not only for the young people, but for the elderly, too. So this bank teller took time out of her day to cry with this woman.
Good.
And then she and her both walked to the police station to report the issue.
Nice.
But this bank teller had not stood up and said something, this woman would be homeless and broke.
Yeah. And $2 million gone that you are never getting back. That's the thing, too. Like, when you're older, so it's your life savings or whatever. And trust me, you need that money when you get older because, like, just taking care of somebody. Like, we have some family that their parents are in assisted living, $6,000 a month. You know? Like, $6,000 a month.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, and that's on the low end of what it can cost.
Because all it is because it's, like, rent for the actual, like, place that they have to physically stay. But all the service and all the staff that have to make sure that they're
It's alive. Lunacy. It's too much, you know.
That's
wild. I told my wife, because we were talking about, after her brother passed away, you know, it obviously prompts the conversations about insurance and do we have enough? Are we in good shape? You know, she's like, am I still the beneficiary? Why do we think I'm going first? but like, I told her, I said, honestly, one of the better insurances, because she was like, we should call our insurance guy. I'm like, one of the better insurances now, beyond the life and death thing, is health insurance for long care term. I mean, because that takes its toll on the estate if you don't have that. So like say, like with my grandmother, for example, my parents, when she had to go into assisted living, they sold her house. And then they used almost every dime of the sale of that house to pay for her care for the next 5 years or whatever it was while she was in the thing. And there was very little left after that, you know? And so it's like without that insurance, you deplete the estate or the legacy that you want to leave to your kids, you know? And so that's the question I want to have with my insurance guy because I'm older. It's something I need to think about more so than you guys. But it definitely is one of those things. I'm like, I don't want to be that burden that destroys like what I have been working for to leave to Haley, you know, like Hayden gets nothing. But I want Haley to get as much as she can. And so for me, it's like, I would not want to be here draining those finances and not having a quality of life, you know? So anyway, that was fun.
Happy birthday!
I know, we were so close. We were so close to not ending on a sad note. But do you have any birthdays?
I don't, but I do have a question that I would like to get to. And that's because we've talked a little bit about Hayden. So why not just a little bit more?
Sure.
David, he said, we've ragged on Hayden. Let's create a son that Wally is proud of named Hunter or Harrison.
Okay, I like Harrison.
Or something cool.
Let's go with Hunter. Harrison sounds pretentious like Hayden.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go with Hunter. Okay, so now you have two sons. Mm-hmm. You have, who is the firstborn? Let's say Hayden's the firstborn. Or should Hunter be the firstborn?
Hunter's the secondborn because he's being created second.
Yeah.
Hypothetical Hayden is created second.
Hunter
was
created
second.
As a replacement for
Hayden. Yeah. Okay. The only reason I have Hayden is in case Hunter needs organs.
Check mark, donor.
Well
organ
done,
donor.
Sir. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's say
again,
there's
all
Hayden,
this is fake.
Hypothetical all Hayden. This is fake. Hypothetical Hayden is your firstborn, and you were like, dadgum.
Yeah, gotta try again.
Gotta try again. So you have your secondborn, and that is Hunter.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't come out with blue hair, so you're like, we might do all right, okay?
Came out with
then
the
you have your thirdborn, Haley, your actual daughter.
Yeah. Haley's last.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
she's the princess.
So and she's the youngest. The youngest she's the little princess, gets away with everything. Okay, so Hayden is wanting to run this hermit crab business, okay? And you already know this is going downhill fast.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now you've got Hunter. What does Hunter do for a living?
What would make you proud?
It would be something that would make you proud.
Mm.
He's really into hair band metal.
Yeah,
from the '80s.
I mean, I'd love for him to be an actual touring band and working and making a living. But that's a little far fetched given his genes.
I think you need a non artist. You need a non artist. Can they be a kayak?
I would love an entrepreneur. You know, a kid that had
Hayden
his own business.
Hayden is an entrepreneur. No,
successful entrepreneur.
You don't know. You won't. Give Hayden a chance.
Hayden, follow your brother's lead. Your brother's always been better than you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Hunter, though, has gotten in a little bit of legal trouble.
Oof, that's going to happen when you're pushing the boundaries for success. That's going to happen. Like, because sometimes the rules get a little murky.
Okay, Hayden has stayed out of trouble, okay?
Because he never took chances.
The man is innocent. All he's done is work with his hermits. And he's sadly, his passion has led him to homelessness. Yeah. Okay. He's living in his car with those hermits. We know this. Okay.
Hermie.
Yeah. Hermie the hermit. But then Hunter, his younger brother, and your pride and joy, the apple of your eye, has gotten into some legal trouble. And
like tax evasion, or are we talking like.
Hey, if he's trying to avoid paying taxes to the government, that's my boy.
That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Okay, Hunter is costing you a lot of money because he needs bail money.
Yeah,
because
I don't need him to be in prison. Like
you don't want that on his record.
No,
you know?
Like if Hayden, it could be the best thing for him to be in jail. Yeah, he's gonna get fed. He's gonna learn to toughen up a little bit.
He won't be homeless.
Yeah, but Hunter, I don't need him there because then that's gonna reflect bad on me. Because everyone knows about Hunter.
So you get to the prison cell. Both of them are there. You're only taking out Hunter.
Yeah.
Let's say they're together, okay? Yeah. Let's say they're doing something together. They're on spring break.
Sure. Okay, and they both go to jail for something that they did together.
that they might have done together.
Sure.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Okay? Allegedly.
Yeah.
Okay? But definitely there is security footage of Hunter being involved, whereas there isn't of Hayden.
Ah, okay.
And you can only bail out one of the boys.
I gotta bail out Hunter. Absolutely.
Why? He's obviously guilty.
Well, he's carrying the family name.
Exactly. Hunter, I need to have his record expunged. Hopefully he's gonna be a politician one day. So we need to get in and do some damage control.
Wow. But Hayden is saying, Dad, please don't leave me here. I have blue hair and they're going to pick on me.
Right. And what we do is we say, I know what you see on the videotape and it doesn't look good for Hunter, but actually that's Hayden.
What?
Yes. That's actually Hayden.
You hired a digital specialist.
So you throw your own firstborn under the bus.
Yeah, deep fake it.
Wow. That's not my son. Let's say Haley, your daughter, is like, Dad, Daddy, my heart goes out to Hayden. He's in jail for something that he did not do. He's innocent.
Yeah.
He is a little noodle. He's a weakling. And he doesn't have much muscle mass. Also, his hermits are dying at the speed of light because no one's there to take care of them. Please bail him out, Daddy. It's all I'm asking for.
Well, sweetheart, I could definitely do that. But then I had a plan. You know that Louis Vuitton you've been wanting? That thing is $2,800.
Oh.
I know. And I know you've wanted it. And you deserved it because you've been through a lot in your 20 years.
I have, Daddy.
Yeah. And
I
so have. I'll let you make the choice. Do we bail him out or do we go get you a new Louis shopping trip?
Yay! Vacation time!
Exactly. Yay! See, and that's how that goes.
But Hunter is actively doing drug deals in your own home.
Well, that's a little harsh. That now I think you've crossed the line there. Because now I can't say anything funny and still survive this one.
What if the money's good?
No. See, now it's funny me saying, now I think we've crossed the line. Oh. Hypothetically, we've just jumped over that line.
Hunter, I'm proud of you, but this is looking bad.
I know. Hunter is the troubled child because he's the middle child. Yeah. You know, they're always
wasn't
troubled.
This meant to be like he was supposed to be proud of this one, right?
And he is, obviously, but we don't know why he's proud of Hunter when he should be proud
of
Hayden. Because Hayden is the entrepreneur that you've always wanted. Yes, he goes by different pronouns.
Oh, God.
That's new.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he
Rock.
Is. Yes, he is left wing.
I know. We're going to. No.
Oh, no.
Now you know why I don't get along with him.
He wants to save the whales that are being hurt by the oil spills. I'm not sure if that's a thing.
He loves
a
good paper straw.
He loves a good paper straw.
Oh my gosh.
He's
boycotting McDonald's and their plastic straws.
Yes.
He's looking to find a new entrepreneurial business of bamboo straws.
Gosh. Yes, he's
this guy.
He gives and he gives.
He's everything I don't like.
And then Hunter might have allegedly been seen trying to stomp the White House on the January 6th
situation. Oh my gosh.
And yet, here you are, a proud dad.
You have really painted the scenarios way, way, way where they're not funny anymore.
Hayden,
I cannot win in these.
Hayden might have a bumper sticker on his car that says, Save the Turtles.
Peace, love.
But
Biden 2024.
Save my college debt, please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but Hunter has college debt.
Okay.
And Hayden doesn't.
But he went to a good school, and it was necessary for what he's trying to accomplish.
He's going to be a presidential candidate.
Yeah, that boy's going to be president one day.
It's not free.
Not much to be proud of.
All right, we got to stop this.
Do we?
Yeah, we do, actually. All right.
The spiral.
Yeah, you tanked that one, Rock.
I'm going to think of a couple more hypothetical situations, and we'll see where Hunter
and need to write a book on
Hayden
this.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
All right, that's going to do it for your aftercast. Thanks for being a potty. Everybody but Hayden.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.